poll released today by the group Business Leaders for Michigan finds that 66% of Michigan voters support Governor Snyder's pledge to have the state contribute to help settle Detroit's bankruptcy. The survey finds 20% of voters oppose the state contribution and slightly more than 13% don't know if they're for or against. There have been several ideas floated as to how much the state might give to what's known as the grand bargain, whether it would be a lump sum or spread out over a number of years, the installment plan, and from where that money would come. Well, today folks are getting a look at legislation that could spell all of that out. Detroit News reporter Chad Livengood is at the Capitol. Hi, Chad.
Thanks for having me today.
Good to have you with us. So tobacco settlement money, rainy day fund, lump sum, installment plan. What are you hearing from the House today?
Well, what Representative John Walsh, a Republican from Livonia, he's the Speaker Pro Tem of the House, and he's been tapped to lead this special committee to handle this legislation. He just let the press know just now that the bills are going to include a lump sum payment of $195 million that would come from the rainy day fund of the state. This is about a $580 million fund right now, and it will be repaid. That contribution from the rainy day fund would be repaid by tobacco settlement funds. Every year, the state of Michigan gets about $250 million from the tobacco companies as part of the big mid-1990s multi-state lawsuit settlement over claims. So they're going to replenish the savings account of the state, but the plan would call for dipping into it now to make that payment to put towards the grand bargain and put towards the settlement of the bankruptcy immediately.
So we know this new poll that was on the front page of the news today from the Business Leaders for Michigan, and that's a group of top Michigan CEOs indicating voters' support for helping Detroit, but that's just one poll. What kind of support do you think, Chad, that this proposal has in the House?
Well, it's kind of how, it depends on how you term it. When you term it aid for pensioners in exchange for protecting the art, it polls well. It polls from the mid-50s up into the mid-60s. When you use the word Detroit bailout, as the Mackinac Center did in its own poll, then it doesn't break 50%, and it becomes a different proposition there. So some of it depends on sort of your perspective of what's going on here, and if you view this as a bailout, any term you can use pretty much applies to this thing, rescue. So it's still not clear, you know, whether this thing is going to get passed. I mean, there's a lot of variables, like any other legislation. Democrats seemingly are on board with it, but they got concerns about the oversight issues. That's one thing that came out today, that there's going to be a seven-member control board, essentially, that will have oversight over Detroit's finances for the next up to 20 years, which is the duration of the bankruptcy court's ability to essentially retain jurisdiction over the city and supervision of the city's finances. And so that's another aspect, because the proposal calls for just one appointee from the city of Detroit by the mayor of Detroit, and the other six appointees will be appointed by legislative leaders, the state treasurer, and the governor. That's going to probably be an issue that Democrats are going to try to fight to get at least our city council representative on that control board.
I could see that being perhaps a tough sell in Detroit.
Yeah, because all it does is perpetuates that the state of Michigan is going to continue to essentially have a permanent occupation at City Hall in Detroit. And at the same time, the leadership is trying to stress, you know, look, there's provisions in this thing that during the 20 years, if they're doing well, budgets, the board can go dormant. That's what happened in the state of New York when the state of New York implemented tough controls on New York City in 1975. The New York State Control Board was in pretty much tight control of the finances for 10 years following, and to this day is still in existence, but in a dormant state where they essentially issue reports every couple of years, but don't really do anything unless we had another financial emergency in the Big Apple.
Chad, what if Speaker Jace Bolger's demand that came out a few weeks ago that he wants Detroit unions to pony up some cash to this grand bargain, where does that stand, and could it be a deal breaker?
It could still be a deal breaker, especially for the Democrats. I talked to what asked me a lobbyist in the hallway just briefly today, and I said, are you guys going to cave to Bolger's demand? And his reply was, no. And I think that's being negotiated right now in leadership as we speak. So something tells me that, you know, there's going to be a grander bargain up here, okay? Yeah. And some people are going to have to give and take. Just yesterday, Senate Majority Leader Randy Richerville said he's not really in favor of using the rainy day fund to make a lump sum payment. He'd rather make $17.5 million payments every year for the next 20 years. Hmm. So there's already clear differences, even between the two chambers and the two Republican leaders, because Chase Bulger and a lot of the Republican House members, they're in favor of write a check, settling now, one time, this is it.
Which I get the feeling from things we've seen Kevin Orr say, he'd be all for that too. Let's get that money and, yeah, and be able to work with it.
Well, he understands that if you put the money now into the fund, it will help the pension fund immediately. Mm-hmm. There's another component to this. This is where it gets into bailout talk. The city of Detroit has not made a single payment towards its two pension funds since November of 2012. It has been skipping payments quarter and month after month since then, and that roughly they are $250 million behind in payments. So if you fork up $195 million in state money, it'll look like essentially the taxpayers are paying the bill that the city has been unable to do for the last 2 years.
And that could easily fill in the term bailout to address that.
Yes. So I mean, this is also going to tie into other subjects that are going on up here. It's budget season in Lansing. Next week is a revenue estimating conference on Thursday, and there are some legislators who are looking for more money for roads, for projects in their districts, for certain departments, for education, and even for tax cuts. So there is no shortage of wants and demands. That's why the House leadership is you know, and the governor is eyeing the rainy day fund, because it's a money that's available right now and wouldn't have to disrupt the pork barrel apple cart, I guess.
Chad, what's the process now? So the House puts its version down. Does the Senate do their version and then let's hammer out differences?
The Senate is not doing anything, and that's not unusual. Sometimes they will try to pass competing bills, but the Senate is seemingly letting the House take the lead here. The House, there's a special committee that's been formed to handle this bill, and they're going to begin hearings next Tuesday at the earliest, and they will work on it, and then they will get this package out. I mean, and then the other thing you got to consider is that the clock is kind of winding down in the legislature. These guys, especially the ones who have primaries, they want to get out of town as early as possible in June. They don't want to go all the way to the end of June. They want to get out as soon as possible. So they may be motivated to make deals and get this over with, or it could turn into Medicaid like last summer.
Oh boy.
Where the Senate at the end of June was not going to be pressured by the governor, who was in Israel on a trade mission and flew back all the way across the globe to
scolded
try to lobby them.
Yeah, that's right.
And then when they decided not to hold a vote, he famously said, "Take a vote, not a vacation." I don't think the governor is going to be doing that again this year, but it could turn into a situation like that. Now, there's a caveat to that. If that happens, it's where the grand bargain essentially dissolves. And because the Judge Rhodes in the bankruptcy case has stipulated, and they put it in the language of the plan, if the legislature does not pass this bill by the start of the confirmation trial,
right,
which is scheduled for July 24th, any retiree who votes yes, as in voting starts next Monday when these packets start to go out in the mail, these ballots.
Right.
Anybody who votes yes, their vote will be turned into a no vote if the legislature fails to come through with its end of the deal.
Wow.
So that's where this thing could go off the rails, and then we would have essentially either had to start over on a new plan, or there would be a cram down in bankruptcy court of huge and unprecedented proportions.
Detroit News Capitol reporter Chad Livengood bringing us the latest on the House proposal toward the Detroit bankruptcy grand bargain. Chad, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.